T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Yes, Thursday. We're on the way to the weekend. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, family. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading up until 6 o'clock here as Whitey Gleason, the now nominated Pro Football Hall of Famer, Lorenzo Neal, as he was nominated yet again for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Congrats to him, and also one Dan Dibley. Today we got a big show. Big show on this Thursday. Gonna work in a little baseball. We haven't done that in a while since football season kind of just snuck up on us. The NBA playoffs have been incredibly exciting. Today you got another game coming up here a little earlier, right before you're gonna have Thursday night football. So you got a hell of a sports day today. You got the NBA playoffs. You're gonna try to decide whether you want to watch the Bengals and Browns tonight. And it's if you're a betting man, it's an interesting one because the Bengals right now are +6, which the money's coming in on that. But them on the money line is +215. The over under is at 43.5. I wouldn't mind looking at that game tonight if you're a betting man, because the Bengals, I feel like, are a better team than a lot of people are going to give them credit for, even though they're the Bengals. And what the Browns did against the Ravens, I don't know if that's going to be a repeat of what's to come in week two. But Joe Burrow, if you watch, and I did this stupid thing where I didn't even watch the entire Bengals and Chargers game, but all I did was watch the final 2-minute drill. I mean, rather, it was 3.5 minutes with the Bengals having to drive down the field against the Chargers. And Joe Burrow looked pretty good. I believe he completed 8 of his 10 passes, and he was incredibly accurate. I think now he made a couple of dumb mistakes in that game, including that one little shovel pass. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals could actually beat the Browns tonight with how bad the Browns looked. But good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford in with you. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. And before I get to this game for the Giants last night against the Mariners, here are how the standings look for both the American League and the National League. The A's, of course, getting a win as well. I mean, you got the White Sox, the Rays, and then the A's. Then you got the Twins, the Yankees, the Astros, the Blue Jays, and the Cleveland Indians. Then in the National League, you got the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Braves, the Padres, the Miami Marlins, the Cincinnati Reds, the Phillies, and in that eighth spot are the San Francisco Giants. And they got the win, a big win yesterday over the Mariners after just a strange 5 days. And, you know, let me start out by saying this. The Mariners were technically the home team yesterday, and that's because they canceled the game in Seattle due to the poor air quality. And I just think that the fact that they didn't even take that into account or consult the A's about it in the first place, and what the A's had to do, including play in playing a doubleheader out there. It's just, I can't believe that they would let something like that happen in the first place. And luckily, they postponed this game with the Giants and the Mariners, and they had it happen over at Oracle Park. And the Giants right now, they're 500. They're 24-24. Drew Smyly got the start yesterday. And the Giants, I mean, they got started early. And this guy, Donovan Solano, has been one of the better hitters, not only on this Giants team, but really, and you may think I'm exaggerating this, but he's been one of the better hitters in baseball.
Towards the hole and a base hit. And Solano comes through again, and the Giants lead 1-0. And that makes Brandon Belt feel a lot better.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
He's hitting 351 on the season with a 907 OPS. He was 2-for-5 yesterday with that RBI to get things rolling. And the Giants were just a hitting machine in the beginning of that game. And Brandon Belt, here's an interesting thing about Brandon Belt. I've never really wanted to read this stat on the air, but when the dimensions of Oracle Park were being talked about and, you know, whether they need to shorten up the fences and Triples Alley it being 421 and now right now it's 415 instead and then changing all of it up, there was a stat that came up based on, now I know everyone hates analytics, but this is what they use to base this stat off of. They took each hit that he had. They took the location of the hit that he had. They took the exit velocity. They took the launch angle. They took all of those analytics, like, way more than I'm even mentioning right now. They took all of those analytics of those hits at Oracle Park, and they translated it over to if he were to play with the Orioles in Camden Yards, he would have had multiple, I'm talking double digit, at least more home runs if he were to play in a different stadium. And Oracle Park, they shortened the dimensions and Brandon Belt hits one to right center. And last year probably would have been a double for Brandon Belt, maybe a triple, or the center fielder could have gone up and got it. But Brandon Belt yesterday got a home run, and you saw a smile on his face after this because hitting into right center at Oracle Park has never been easy.
Belt hits a high drive out into Triples Alley. Can anybody get there? They cannot. It's gone. Belt way out into Triples Alley. It's a two-run home run, and it's 4-0 Giants.
From the 925, 888-957-9570, Donovan Solano, his nickname is Donnie Barrels, yep. From the 408, two more wins, and Dibs is going to church. You better believe that that's going to be a conversation on the show coming up today. You got, because right now they're 24-24, got a 500 record, they're in the eighth spot, and Giant fans, last year when we were heading up to the trade deadline, wondering whether they should trade away Madison Bumgarner, and you had the thought, oh, well, you know, they're on a hot streak. They could be heading into this wild card game here. We don't know. Might as well keep Madison Bumgarner on this team, see if we can make a run. At that point, I thought it was a little far-fetched. But you're in the middle of September now. You only got a few more weeks of baseball. They are 24-24, and they are in contention. This is a real thing. Being 500 right now is a good thing. In these standings here, because it's really, after, you know, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Braves, and the Padres, they're all kind of battling for those 1-4 spots. But after that, in the 5-8, Miami, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Colorado, they're all within 22-25 wins, and the Mets as well. But the Mets, you saw what happened yesterday. Jacob DeGrom didn't have his best outing, and apparently he had a problem with his groin and had to leave the game. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen with their ace pitcher. I originally thought, just looking at the lineup straight up and looking on paper, I felt like the Cardinals were a better team than the Giants. The Mets were a better team. The Phillies, even the Reds as well. I feel like the Reds can actually go on a little hot streak. I wouldn't be surprised on that. But that's all it's going to take. That's all it's going to take with this little amount of time left. If any of these teams can go on a 3-game, 4-game win streak, that could shake everything up. And that's not to say that, yes, the Giants have a chance to make the World Series this year. It's automatic. No, it's not to say that. But at least you have something to look forward to in a truncated season, which we all thought was lost. And, you know, this talk about Gabe Kapler has kind of quieted down what he's done with the bullpen lately, because we were all over him for his moves with the bullpen, right? We were all over that gaffe that he had with Tyler Rogers. What was that, against the Padres? When they were up four and he accidentally brought out Andrew Bailey and then went to make the switch, and you're not allowed to do that in the same moment. Like, I think that right now we're kind of quieted down on all of that. And as Giants fans, you're just enjoying the ride right now. The fact that you are even in contention, you could, it's actually becoming a reality. You could think about that. 888-957-9570 from the 415. Dodgers fan here, and it's looking very possible that the Dodgers could be playing the Giants in the first series of the postseason, and the Dodgers have not been steamrolling the Giants this season like everyone expected. I don't like that idea at all. Look, I can't come. I mean, it's true. It's true. I mean, when I was on with John Dickinson, this was a little bit ago, and I don't think the Dodgers have played the Giants since then. So I think this stat still holds up. But four of their losses do come from the Giants this year, which is pretty crazy to think about. I don't know if they could survive. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they could go against the Dodgers in a series and actually win that one, because I think the Dodgers are just an absolute juggernaut of a team this year. And I think that it's very possible that we could be looking at an A's and Dodgers World Series. I had the Yankees and the Dodgers originally before the season started, but it's very possible that we could be looking at an A's and Dodgers World Series again this year. I don't know if the Giants would be able to make it past the Dodgers. So slow your roll, Dodgers fan. It's fun. For the 408, the A's thumped the Mariners 9-0. So the Giants win equals boring. Will four games below 500 at the end and watching A's in the playoffs? Yeah, okay. But they're 24-24 right now. It's okay, 408, to just support both teams. I know you probably hate the Giants, but man, it's okay. The A's thump everybody. They really do. It's a question of what they're a great regular season team. Two straight seasons with 97 wins in a row, but they don't have anything in the playoffs to show for it because they got the short end of the stick with that wild card game. So really, we're just waiting for them in the playoffs. Their regular season, it really stinks what happened with Matt Chapman, because he's one of my top five most enjoyable players to watch in baseball. But right now, we could be looking at a situation, which I didn't expect, where you could be seeing both teams in the Bay Area, one from the American League and one from the National League, represented in the playoffs. Pretty awesome. We haven't been able to say that in a while. Now, the Giants have had a weird past few days with everything that went on with the test that was a false positive and all the air quality in Seattle. And Gabe Kapler talked about the Giants' resiliency in this time.
I've dealt with a lot in the last 5 days, and we continue to talk about the resilient nature of this club. We've been able to bounce back from things that have happened on the field, some tough losses. Also in game, we've been able to come back when being down. And we've been able to survive some of the rust that we saw tonight with the bullpen and a lot of things that have happened to this club off the field. As you well know, we haven't been dealt the easiest hand, but these guys are incredibly resilient. They're fighters. And I think what the lineup did speaks to that, speaks directly to it.
From the 559-888-957-9570, Dibs is not going to come through on this bet. He's already said multiple times that he will fight it with his lawyers. That's the thing with Dibs. I don't know if they're listening right now, but the thing with Dibs is he finds his way to work around that. I think he will. It will be very entertaining to try and just listen to him kind of worm his way through this bet, even though a bet is a bet. And I mean, he's going to have to go to church. And he's going to get in. Lowe's going to have to set it all up. I think Lowe's already been in contact with this guy, so I think they're ready. It's just, what is it, two more wins that they need this season and the bet will go through? Whew. I mean, these bets that Dibs has gone through, and I've experienced them for the past 3.5-4 years. That foot one was the worst because Kirk Cousins didn't lead Washington to getting what, over 8 wins or getting 8 wins on the season. But now we're looking at a Giants team that could get over 25. Oh, It's brutal. I thought Dibs had it right at the beginning, but the Giants continue yet again to just... This is not a normal thing. Them getting 8 runs in the first 4 innings is not a very normal thing for this Giants team. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Coming up next, going to get some 49ers talk in because Shanahan spoke to the media. Yesterday was a wild one for the 49ers. We had the Richard Sherman injury break, and he went on IR, and it's just a calf strain. And they said he's put on IR. He's going to be there for 3 weeks. They said it's just a calf strain, so it's looking like 3 weeks, that minimum that he's supposed to hit. It's just going to be that minimum. It's not going to be any more than that. At least that's what the reports are saying right now. Akello Witherspoon in concussion protocol is what we saw yesterday. We'll give you some updates on that and more. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 again.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. I'm not going to go off on you, 707, but just take some initiative. How about that? Instead of just complaining to the text line, just take some initiative. Listen to whatever you want. You can find it. Okay, 707? 888-957-9570 is a Chilton Auto Body text line. You can come in and complain all you want, but don't complain about something that you could just take some initiative on and change yourself and just, and at least make a difference for yourself instead of just complaining. You could complain about random things, but just take some initiative, man. Sheesh. Don't blame me here. I'm just doing a radio show from 5 to 6. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. Except for you, 707. I'm just kidding. Thank you for listening as well. But if you're just going to complain the whole time, then what are you going to do? What use are your texts to me? 888-957-9570. Want to know how you're feeling, Niner fans, as you're going up against the Jets. Yeah, you know, the Jets they didn't look too good against the Bills. The Bills, they got started early, and Josh Allen, you know, he was a very good quarterback in that first half, but in that second half, he wasn't too great. The Bills got a pretty good run game, and the Jets did as much as they could to contain it. So, see, this is what's going to be interesting about that matchup. I think the 49ers, after all, are going to win, no doubt. I really don't have any doubt that they're going to win against the Jets this weekend. But I will say that in that first week, the Jets right now are the middle of the pack as far as run defense goes, and their pass defense is in the bottom 4. So I think that with these injuries that you got going to the wide receivers, it's not a good time ever to have injuries to these wide receivers, but... right now, when you're lacking depth there and your first guy is probably Mohamed Sanu at this point, because Kyle Shanahan really likes him. And I'll get to the sound from Kyle Shanahan here in a second. Because he talked about him getting acclimated to the offense. And I think Niner fans, this would give you a little bit of hope with Sanu going in here. But they just got the right week to play the Jets, whose pass defense is not very good. The Jets have an offensive line which is not consistent, and if you watch any of the good offensive lines in football, one of the keys is consistency. Look at the Raiders. The Raiders for the past, what, half of a decade? Maybe even a little more than that? Could we put it on the last 7 years? They've had a very consistent offensive line. It's been very good. Now, they have made some changes here and there, but ultimately, with Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, and solidify, and originally with Donald Penn, and you had Oh, man. Who else did you have there? You had Kelechi Osemele at one point. That offensive line was very good, and they continue to bolster it with veterans, with Trent Brown and Richie Incognito, Gabe Jackson getting hurt. But anyway, he was hurt last season. He's good this year. Offensive lines need consistency, and the Jets don't really have that. So I could see the 49ers defense feasting on Sam Darnold over the weekend. But there are some parts of their game that the Jets have, which isn't terrible. Although they will be without Le'Veon Bell. They will be without Le'Veon Bell, and you're going to be seeing a heavy dose of Frank Gore. And you've seen Frank Gore against the Niners before, but this time, this is going to be in a starting role where it looks like he could be getting a big bulk of carries. But Kyle Shanahan spoke about Mohamed Sanu, and it's the first time we've heard from Shanahan since Monday when he mentioned that, oh yeah, Sanu, he's on my radar. I think we can bring him here. And now that he's here, here's what Kyle Shanahan's reaction is in talking about getting Sanu acclimated to the offense.
I mean, that's the benefit of being with someone before, that he's familiar with the offense. You know, he only had 1 year away from it and did some very similar verbiage and stuff in Atlanta even after I left. So he's familiar with it. It's good that we got him done so he can at least listen to our meetings. He can't be here, but he has an idea of the game plan, can see it all. You know, he'll be able to get there out of practice, which is a half-speed practice anyway. So, you know, I think Mo will do his part. He's a pro. He'll learn his responsibilities, what he has to do. And basically the decision of whether he'll play or not probably is going to depend with the health of our other receivers and how that goes this week.
And then he continued about Mohamed Sanu and how he'll be used if he does use him.
Our offense is different than it was there. Our personnel is different than what it was there. So you never fit someone in the exact same way when it's a different team, different people, different scheme. You fit him in the best way that he can to help our team. And, you know, we've had some pretty unfortunate luck here with the injuries with receivers. We know we're going to get a number of them back eventually this year. But, no, bringing in Mo and having someone like him available right now is just, we feel very fortunate of it because he can come in and do whatever we ask him to do. I mean, he's very smart. He knows all the positions. And the thing about Mo that I enjoy the most is how tough he is, how competitive he is. The game's not too big for him. If he showed up on Sunday and we needed him, I know he'll go in there and fight and compete. And that's why it's good to have a guy like that ready if need be.
And it looks like Brandon Ayuk is going to be ready for this game. So that could be your number one receiver. And from the 925, let's just clear this up because we do get a lot of this from the Chill Not A Body text line. Or you can call in 888-957-9570. They're both the same number. I'm surprised the Niners didn't get Taylor Gabriel. He is a free agent. Taylor Gabriel is, and it would be a good pickup because of his work with the Falcons and Kyle Shanahan, and I get where everyone's coming with that, but he opted out of the season. So, you know, I don't know what the rules are about opting back in, but I think a lot of us were surprised the Niners didn't get him, but also he opted to not play in this season. So that's where we're at with the Taylor Gabriel conversation. And from the 925 also, a different number, wasn't Allen Robinson available and they took Sanu instead? Bad move with the Niners. You never really know with those situations. You know, it's you hear one day that, oh, Allen Robinson unfollowed all the Bears on Instagram. He unfollowed everyone on Twitter. Looks like he wants to be. Oh, now we get a report that he's asking to be traded. And then you find out that the trade talks aren't really there. They're just trying to work out a contract extension. Then yesterday, they said they had a talk and they cleared the air. You remember when that same thing happened before the season started with the Saints and Alvin Kamara? It looked like Alvin Kamara even was going to be up there, and Niner fans were looking at that and thinking, ooh, Alvin Kamara could be on the table. Look, that, with how good Allen Robinson is, the Bears were never going to let him go. It was either you're going to pay that guy who already had a contract extension, but Allen Robinson is invaluable to whatever team he goes to. And I think they convinced him, and this is just a gut feeling for what the Bears did with him, but they probably convinced him, hey, yeah, Mitch might not be our quarterback long term. Now, he had those three touchdowns toward the end of the game, but in the beginning, he did not look good, and the Lions seemed to let that one slip, and it's just week one. But and we've seen Mitch Trubisky before have a good week, like he did week one a couple of years ago against the Packers. Some people look good in week one. Some people look bad. We'll know who they really are in week four, week five. But I don't know if Allen Robinson was really available. I don't know how much to believe with that. George Kittle, he's been he's been among the talk of Niner fans. How his health is? That throw that Jimmy G made, everyone's blaming him for the inaccuracy on that. But come on, you can't. How can you blame Jimmy G on that? It was a high throw that got up on him, and the defensive back made a tackle only where he could. He could have gone toward more the midsection, but he went toward the legs because it felt like that was the only place that he could go. That's where his momentum was taking him. But we were wondering about Kittle's injury and how he's feeling. Here's Kyle Shanahan, his most recent comments on George Kittle and possibly more Jordan Reed.
Kittle, it's, you know, he's battling. You know, it's, we thought it'd be all right. You know, woke up the next day a little sore. You know, he fully expects to be there Sunday like he always does, and just like he always plays through the game when it happens. But we'll give him the whole week. You know, always love to give him out there on Friday. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, Friday's just a walkthrough anyways. But Kittle is one guy that he's ready to go on Sunday, and the doctors say he's good to go. We have no problem with him going without practicing. And then Jordan's coming along as planned. You know, he got a late start to camp. We put him in very slowly in that with some of his injuries that he had from the past. And, you know, we plan to play him like we did there in the game. We'll see if he gets a little bit more playing time if there's less tight ends up.
So we'll see with Jordan Reed. We just don't know with him. We know that when he was playing and when he was healthy, he was very good. He was one of the best in the NFL. He was that tight end, that underrated tight end that you pick up in fantasy in the later rounds. And you'd say, I got my tight end, and then he'd be out by week six. Jordan Reed, it's probably going to take a little bit to get acclimated to the offense, since I don't know how many plays Kyle Shanahan truly draws up for the tight end position, at least for the backup tight end, for that second tight end without Kittle, or behind Kittle, rather. Because Kittle is so much more of he's a dual threat. And Kyle Shanahan has worked his playbook around a dual threat like George Kittle. And Jordan Reed is just a terrific pass catcher. I think he played basketball, too. He's one of those tight ends who is big, and he's a mismatch on any cornerback, and he can catch one in the red zone. He can get separation. He's speedy, all that sort of stuff you want in a tight end. But also, you just don't know. You just don't know. So maybe he'll get acclimated to the offense going forward here against the Jets. Every week is different. Every single week is different. Trends will start to be set in the middle of the season, but right now we don't know what's going to happen. And that's kind of what makes the beginning of the NFL season so exciting. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Trent Williams, who was on the station yesterday, new left tackle. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He had some comments about Jimmy G yesterday, and he's been all over this whole, well, they could bench Jimmy G, bring in Nick Mullins, and he's been all over that. I'm not sure what the sources are, but normally Florio is pretty on point with this stuff. He was also on the station yesterday. You're going to be able to hear that next. And, I'll just make this announcement now. Raider fans, if you want to get a little more Raiders content, the first episode will be released on Friday, but I'm going to be calling this, I'm going to be doing a Raider podcast and going to be releasing an episode every Friday and Monday throughout the season. You'll be able to find it on the radio.com app, wherever you get your podcast. You'll be able to download it. It's going to be within the same realm of the pregame show. So if you're already subscribed on radio.com to the pregame show, and you use the rewind feature and all that sort of stuff, you'll be able to go there and you'll be able to find the podcast. The first episode will be released here on Friday. So looking forward to that as I preview the matchup with the Raiders and the Saints. And hopefully on Tuesday, going to get a pretty cool guest on. So that's all coming up. But we're going to talk next about Trent Williams and Mike Florio's comments on Jimmy G. Stephen Langford and on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Just let it ride for a second. normally in radio, we like to just get straight into it. Don't like to let the music play that long. I mean, if you're driving on the Bay Bridge right now, how perfect is it listening to this? There's nothing. And trust me, whenever you're listening to Mac Dre on the Bay, I drive on the Bay Bridge every single day. And not every single day, maybe 5-6 days out of the week, depending if I have a weekend show or not. But when I'm driving on the Bay Bridge and it's November, December, and it's raining, you best believe that I am playing "It's Raining Game in Northern California." And they tell me 888-957-9570 is a Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Going to get to Trent Williams here. He was on yesterday with Damon Radwinkulski for a terrific interview. Going to play some cuts from him. He talks about Nick Bosa, his comeback, playing with Kyle Shanahan, all that sort of stuff. Kind of giving us an update so far after week one. And if you saw that video, I'm so glad that on Twitter, offensive linemen, ex-offensive linemen, are there to post videos of things we didn't see. Because Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman, we have him on the station on numerous different shows, and he's always terrific. Anytime you have Jeff Schwartz on, you're probably going to learn a thing or two, at least about the offensive line, and he's going to open up your eyes a little bit. And thank you, BR Cracker. Please don't sing ever. Thank you for the 925. Probably won't. Probably will. But he always highlights great offensive line play. And I think the Jets was another one that he had pointed out. And I'm going to get to this video in a second. But Mekhi Becton is the offensive lineman that I think that's how you pronounce his name on the Jets. He's the rookie lineman. He's pretty good. He's pretty good, so it's going to be a hell of a matchup. And he's on the interior, so it's going to be a hell of a matchup between him and Javon Kinlaw. But I'm just glad offensive linemen are there to post videos of things we don't see. Because I didn't see Trent Williams absolutely laying out that safety. I didn't see him doing that at all. And I didn't see it in real time, and that video went viral, and that's how everyone found out about it. If you saw that play right off the bat, 888-957-9570, these guys, they see something that's completely different than what we see on the field as it's happening. So we wait until those videos come out, and we act like we also, yeah, we saw that Trent Williams block. Not really. Someone just posted it on Twitter, and we looked at it. We didn't see the play in real time. Only ex-offensive linemen would be able to see that play. So can't wait to see more of that from Trent Williams later on. The U.S. Open's starting. And the one, that just to sidetrack a little bit, the one video that just popped up on my Twitter, and this has been pretty popular, but it's John Daly, and guys are trusting him to hit drives with the tee in their mouth and the golf ball on their tee and they're laying down on the ground. I wouldn't do that. You kidding me? You ever seen the movie The Mask with Jim Carrey? It's terrifying. I'm not letting anybody hit a golf ball off my mouth. Not going to let that happen. That's the first video I saw as the U.S. Open gets started. Can't wait for that. Going to be having a lot of sports to keep up on. It's a little overwhelming. We do have an NBA playoff game tonight. We got Thursday night football, Bengals and Browns, if that interests you at all. Joe Burrow going up against a sort of rival team in the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns did not look good against the Baltimore Ravens. Kind of an intriguing matchup, but right now the money's coming in on the Bengals to at least cover. The Browns are favored by 6 in this game after, what, barely even scoring 6 points in that last game against the Ravens? Anyway, sorry to sidetrack. Trent Williams, he was on the station yesterday, and he just wanted to talk a little bit about his comeback and Kyle Shanahan, what it's like to play with him. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Here is Trent Williams.
You know, I stayed focused, and I was motivated. You know, I had went through a very dark time in my life, and, you know, it was a lot of doubters, you know, a lot of people doubted the fact that I could, you know, come back and still be a Pro Bowl caliber player or all pro caliber player. And I heard all the whispers, and, you know, I just used that as gas in my tank. And I knew that my day would come to show everybody and to prove everybody I'm still the best left tackle in the league, and I just had to patiently wait on that and be prepared for it.
That's interesting, because from an outsider looking in, we don't know what happened internally with Washington. We know that things with Dan Snyder and what's going on with that organization. Hearing Kyle Shanahan last year when he was asked about when they played Washington, and he was asked about what it was like to work with their organization. What are the memories you have over there? And he just said, working with my dad, nothing else. So he clearly didn't like the organization. What happened with Trent Williams from an outsider's perspective, we never thought that he wasn't a good offensive lineman or anything. He was still one of the best in the league. They just didn't handle his injuries correctly. At least that's what was reported, but we don't know what happened internally. So it's interesting to hear him say that he had doubters out there. Personally, I never doubted Trent Williams and what he could do at left tackle. He's always been one of the more athletic guys. Vernon Davis, when Trent Williams got signed with the Niners, we had Vernon Davis, his former teammate, on, and he's saying that he was running sprints with tight ends and keeping up with tight ends. So hearing how athletic these guys are, and let me try and say something here. I don't know if you are the type of fan that thinks this, but personally, these guys are incredibly athletic. They have an underrated amount of athleticism, every single one of them. But these linemen, for the size that they are, for guys being between 6'2", all the way up to 6'8", being over 300 pounds, being able to, having the conditioning that linemen have, being able to run that the way they do with that size, I think that just makes them as athletically gifted as anybody on that football field just because of their body type and how big they are. Now, sure, there are some, I'm not saying they're, more athletic than, say, a Saquon Barkley or a Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying that. You could select a few players, Aaron Donald being another one of those guys. But sneaky athletic, a lot of these offensive linemen are, and Trent Williams is at the top of that. But he continued, and he talked about what he's done since becoming a 49er and just how it feels to be playing in San Francisco. Here's Trent Williams.
I made a lot of changes. There's a lot of technique changes that I had to make to be uniform with the offense and the offensive line. It improved my game as well. It's not like I had to take a back seat or anything or had to, sacrifice anything. Coach Bitten and Coach First is kind of, I was off a year and a half, so it was some things that I still had to clean up. And they helped me, and like you said, to answer your question, there was some things like in the run game that they, angles and things that they wanted me to change and things that would help me and help the play. It was different from when I first learned it to how they run it now. And there was just little subtleties like that and little nuances that I just had to catch on to, and the coaches did a really good job of helping me out, and the players did as well. Lakin, Mike, and Glinch, Ben, a lot of the people that was here, they helped me out with the newer techniques. And, I was just trying to master everything before we had to jog out there and on Sunday with real bullets flying.
With the way that Kyle Shanahan draws up this run game, being an offensive lineman on this team has got to be interesting. It has to be something completely new, completely different. Let's just take that first drive, for example, that the 49ers had against the Cardinals, where it looked like they were that offensive hole. Now, they only ended it with a field goal, so you would have hoped that it turned into a touchdown. But a couple incomplete passes here and there, and all of a sudden it's fourth down, and you got to kick the field goal. But that run game that they had going, it felt like no one missed a beat in that first drive from last season, because one of the things that makes them so deadly is the way that these offensive linemen are able to slide and sink and go to the left and completely fool a defense, make you think that Raheem Mostert's going to go one way, then he runs a counter or a misdirection and goes the complete opposite, and Raheem Mostert has some open field. And some stats just to give you for this offensive line, they've been getting to the second level. They're in the top seven, if I'm not mistaken, in getting to that second level, meaning that they make it out to their linebackers and they let Raheem Mostert eat and they get out there quick. Now, they have been giving up a couple of sacks in that interior against the pass rush. It didn't look that great toward the end of the game. You could tell maybe toward the end of the second quarter, maybe the third quarter too, that the interior for the defensive line on the Cardinals was able to get to Jimmy Garoppolo. How Kyle Shanahan draws up the run game for an offensive lineman, probably pretty confusing when you first get in, but luckily there were a few veterans on that interior that were able to help him out. And he continued in talking about Kyle Shanahan and what it's like to play for him as a head coach. Here's Trent Williams.
He's a player's coach in every sense of the word. He understands the players. He relates to the players. He's been around this game his entire life since he was in diapers. And not just football, but the NFL. He's been around. His dad is the innovator of a lot of the offense that we see today. And he took from that. He's the best coach you can think of as far as playing for, as far as motivating the players, as far as scheme wise, as far as just understanding his team. I think Kyle has really kind of matured into that role where he's a coach that everybody would love to play for.
That's a common theme among the top head coaches in the NFL. Whenever we're ranking them, whether you're talking about a guy like Pete Carroll, whenever you're talking about a guy like John Harbaugh, whenever you're talking about Sean McVay, we could stay within the NFC West. When you talk about Andy Reid, all these guys, there are coaches who draw up, who are players coaches and are also very smart on the football field when it comes to drawing up plays. Now, sure, the clock management with Kyle Shanahan, some of the decisions that he's made last year, at least, were a little questionable. But I mean, the 49ers made the Super Bowl. So what do those game time decisions, how does those really matter? Not really. But when you rank the top head coaches in the NFL, a lot of them are players coaches, and a lot of them are ones who know how to draw up an offense. And Kyle Shanahan is one of those guys, and Trent Williams is saying he's a players coach to the full extent of the meaning. So that's what you got right now, and you got a head coach who players, again, like Trent Williams said, would want to play for. This is how you get free agents. This is how you get guys who are rookies that you want to bring up. This is how you get them to want to stay with the 49ers. And, you know, there's nothing worse than getting a draft pick who's going to a dysfunctional organization and he just hates it. And he just feels like he doesn't belong there. He feels like he's better than everything. I don't think that's the feeling when rookies nor free agents come to the 49ers. From the 707, good question here on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570. Who would win in a foot race, Jimmy G or Trent Williams? That's a good question. Would the money be on Trent Williams there? Would we have to put John Curley, you're in the back, just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Jimmy G or Trent Williams in a foot race? You're taking Jimmy G or Trent Williams? You're taking Jimmy G. Okay. All right. Because when I heard Vernon Davis say that about Trent Williams, when I heard him say that about Trent Williams, that he was able to keep up with some of these tight ends running routes as if he was a tight end, I don't know. That'd be an interesting one, though. Just a foot race between Garoppolo and Trent Williams? We would love to see that. We would love to see that coming up on Mondays on the pregame show. You'll love to see it. It's a good segment. That'll be at 5:15 on Monday. Trent Williams continued, and he talked about Nick Bosa going up against him, what he's seen from Nick Bosa. You saw a lot of double teams and triple teams on Nick Bosa, and I think there was a lot more to be desired from Armstead and Ford in that manner. If you replay the game and you watch Javon Kinlaw, finally, the All-22 coming out. If you have Game Pass, you've been waiting for that All-22, and they released it on Wednesday night. But if you watch Javon Kinlaw, he was thrown around the interior lineman there. So it looked pretty good. But when it comes to Armstead and Ford, you need them to finish, and you need them to get pressure. Maybe they'll be able to do it against Sam Darnold, who's actually not too bad on his feet. He's no Kyler Murray, but he can at least escape the pocket and escape pressure. So that's going to be interesting to watch coming up in this game on Sunday. But Trent Williams talked about Nick Bosa and what he brings to the table.
Literally right now, as we speak, in his second year, he's already top five, and he's not number five of guys who I went up against and seen closely. I think he will continue to ascend, and I think he will definitely be the best, if not the top three best in this league, I mean, for years to come. And you already see it today, so, I mean, he can do that in 2 years. Imagine what he'll look like in year five. Imagine what he'll look like in year six, you know, when he's been around and he's nothing he hasn't seen before. I think it'll be a terror, especially for, you know, the offensive tackle. So, you know, luckily he's in my locker room and I can practice with him as opposed to having to try to figure out a way to stop him on Sunday.
Woo! Woo! When a guy like Trent Williams says that, a guy who's been around for a very long time, a guy who was in Washington facing very good pass rushers, whether it would be on the Eagles or the Giants, he's faced some guys in his day. And to say that about Nick Bosa, top five guys, and he wouldn't be number five. Look, if the sack numbers aren't there and you're watching Nick Bosa this season and you think there's a lot more that's left to be desired statistically, here's how you should be thinking about this as a 49er fan. Right now, I think he's already done enough to earn a spot on this team in the future. I think he's already done enough to earn whatever contract extension that they're going to have to give him when his rookie contract is up. I'm not going to try and tell you how to watch sports, and I hope you feel this way already about Nick Bosa, but instead of just trying to find a way to critique him this year and, you know, if you find something wrong, maybe he's not getting the pressure that you want him to get, just enjoy watching him, because the man terrorizes tackles, okay? He's got so much power. He's what he does with his hands is just, fah! You can't see that on the radio, but let me paint you a little picture. My hands are swiping a lineman to the right. I couldn't be able to do that, because what am I, like 5'10", 170? I'm not going to be able to do that, but he just, fah! He's able to swipe these guys to the right because he has such quick hands and so much power. Watching Nick Bosa is just a complete joy, in my opinion. And, you know, you see it with Khalil Mack. You see it with Aaron Donald. You see these guys take on double teams. Once Nick Bosa gets used to that, you know, and he gets it more and more, these double teams, these triple teams, and he's going to learn. Going to be a force to be reckoned with. I really enjoy watching Nick Bosa play football. And Trent Williams, this is the last one I'm going to play as we lead into Mike Florio, because Mike Florio talked about Jimmy Garoppolo, and he had more comments about him possibly not even being the future quarterback of this team. But Trent Williams talked about the locker room and them being behind Jimmy G.
Because I think everybody knows what type of player he is, and everybody can see it. We see it every day. You know, obviously, Jimmy is he's an easy target for a lot of criticism just because he is the quarterback of the team, and he's clean cut guy. He don't really have anything, you know, negative to say about him. He's just, you know, it's easy for people to just pick him out, you know, because he's not going to respond to it. He's going to keep coming to work every day and doing his due diligence to be the best quarterback he can be for us, and we all believe in him. We got a saying here that I got your back, and you won't find anybody in this locker room to tell you different. We all got his back. We understand that quarterbacks take the most heat when you win and lose. And if we would have won, Jimmy would be the savior on Monday morning. But when we lose, we understand that he's going to be the first one, and then it'll trickle down. That's just the nature of the business, but we don't really get caught up in that.
When you got a bunch of guys who are hurt, and Jimmy G is the one guy that you're kind of used to, you know, I don't know how many fans are, you know, the sports radio listeners and you guys listening into this station, you know about Bourne and Pettis and Trent Taylor and all of them. But, you know, to the casual fan, they don't know much about these wide receivers. They just know about Jimmy G. So they look at Jimmy G and they use him as criticism. And Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, he said, I think that unless Jimmy G dramatically changes what we saw from him on Sunday, this is going to be his last year with the 49ers. And he was on the station yesterday and clarified what he mentioned and what Shanahan wants in a quarterback.
Basically, Kyle Shanahan wants for his offense an extension of Kyle Shanahan's brain. It's basically like the Madden game where Kyle Shanahan pre-programs the quarterback to do exactly what Shanahan wants him to do in order to execute the plays in a way that Shanahan knows will be successful if the plays are executed exactly the way that Shanahan wants it done. When he was the offensive coordinator in Washington during the lockout season, I remember Rex Grossman, who ended up being the week one starter, he said publicly, look, I know how to win this job. Just do exactly what Kyle tells me to do. If I do exactly what Kyle says, I'll win the job, because he wants a quarterback who will run his offense exactly the way he wants it to be run. He doesn't want improvisation. He believes that he can design a game plan and he can design a system that's going to be successful if the quarterback does what he's supposed to do. And so I don't know how much of this is on Jimmy G and how much of it is on Kyle Shanahan not staying a step ahead of defensive coordinators, because I don't think Kyle wants, or at least in the past has wanted, a guy who can make something happen when everything goes to pot and you've got to figure out, basically, you know, Brett Favre style or Patrick Mahomes style, or, you know, there's more and more great quarterbacks who can do this successfully now, what he's going to do with the ball once the first play that's called isn't there.
Just give it time. Just give it time for this season. See what Jimmy Garoppolo does. No, week one was not pretty, and it didn't look great, but he's not there with the full squad right now. They didn't have any preseason games. It was his first game back. Give it some time. That's all I'm going to say for you there. Whitey Lowe and Dibs coming up next. Shout out to one Lorenzo Neal. You'll understand why I'm giving him a shout out, because I'm sure they'll mention it next. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.